Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for June the 30th. I'm your host, Paul White. Today is our Deeper Daily Podcast essay edition for the month of June. My essay this month was birthed by that glorious and rare combination of timing and opportunity. The opportunity came from a text I received from a ministry partner and friend who was listening to an old sermon of mine and commented that it blessed them. I had some time while running errands that day, so I gave it a listen as well. It was old enough that I had forgotten my train of thought for that particular sermon, so I listened with fresh ears, so to speak. The timing of what I heard spoke so profoundly to where we are in this season of our lives that a revelation that spoke to me a few years ago came rushing back with fresh anointing. The sermon was titled, "The Grace That Teaches," and the moment of fresh revelation came in an offhand quote I made from Hebrews 11, commonly known as the Hall of Faith. Now, I won't rehash the details of the sermon. It's available for free at YouTube if you're interested. But I do want to relive the moment behind the sermon to tie it into the moment that I'm in right now. As we deliver this essay, we are less than 3 weeks from another major life change. Our family will pack up and move from Southern California to North Georgia, where we begin a new journey of life and ministry. Some of the same things that took us from Missouri to California in the summer of 2015 are propelling us to Georgia in the summer of 2018. Opportunity for ministry, children's education, etc. Now, there are some stark differences in that we aren't going into any form of business enterprise in Georgia like we did in California, and we're looking to do a weekly ministry meeting in Georgia while we only held them monthly the past few years. Aside from this, there is a major similarity to the two decisions. In the fall of 2014, when I preached The Grace That Teaches, I was laying the groundwork for the move. Business opportunities were lining up, several trips had been made to the new place, and in my own heart, I was ready to go. The formality of leaving the church that we were in and saying goodbye to a lifetime of memories had yet to happen, and for the most part, it was more of a fantasy than a reality. While the logistics had not been worked out, the calming voice of the Spirit had already spoken, and I knew where I belonged and where I didn't. Well, that same voice has spoken again, and just as before, while the moving and the planning have yet to officially happen, my heart is prepared and locked in. We look forward to the things God has in store for the new season with fresh opportunity and a renewed passion for some aspects of ministry that I thought we had left behind. Funny how you sometimes end up in a different place than you set out to discover. The quote from that sermon that jumped out at me as I went through it this time is found in the passage on the faith of Abraham, a character that receives the most attention of all of the members of the Hall of Faith. Maybe there is so much space devoted to Abraham because he was asked to believe for so much. Listen to how this verse ends. "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going." Hear that last sentence again. "And he went out, not knowing where he was going." This type of faith hardly registers with most of us. In fact, we wouldn't even call this faith. We would call it irresponsible, or irrational, or short-sighted, or blind, or just plain stupid. It isn't likely that we would honor someone who left everything behind and went out without knowing where they were going. And yet, our faith as Christians is a copy of the kind of faith displayed by Abraham. Now, we live in a different world, that's for sure, but let's not assume that just because we have more options, we have more viable excuses. Rather than determining if Abraham's faith is valid or not, let's start with what many deem the most important, or what we couldn't move forward without. If you heard from God to do something or to go somewhere, could you do it without regard as to your mortgage, your retirement, your health insurance, or your kids' college fund? Would these things need to be provided for before you were convinced it was God speaking? Perhaps so. And maybe there's nothing wrong with that kind of thinking or praying toward that end. But let's not confuse that level of confident security with the level of faith put on display by Abraham. The lesson I think we need to learn the most from the Abraham story may be that if we keep waiting on the things of this world to line up so that our moves are done with security, then maybe we aren't moving that much differently through the world than an unbeliever would. Abraham had no reason to trust God. He had no past with him. I don't know what convinced Abraham to finally move out of Dad's house and go out on his own, but God knows he had lived at home long enough. Maybe he had lived there so long he had grown frustrated and anywhere was better than staying home. But I like to think that he left because he had heard the voice that no one else heard, and he was willing to follow, even if he had no idea where he might end up. My biggest concern in this area is for our future generations. How are we equipping our children to face the world? We can shelter them and keep them from everything, and that will work for a while, and then they will face the world, and they are likely to be so overwhelmed and so hurt that they regress into their shell and are little use to anyone. Or we could just throw them into the shark tank and wish them good luck. That probably just finishes them off faster, though, honestly, maybe with a little less pain. Most people seem to have taken the tact of preparing the kid to deal with bullies and finish their homework, play as a team, share their toys, focus on what matters, and get into a good college. All of these things seem valid, but many of us do so little to help them identify the voice of the Spirit in their lives. This is evident in that most of what we're equipping them to do is done the same way that it would be done if we weren't believers in Christ. We may be showing them how to plan ahead, work the plan, and reap the rewards of hard work, but we aren't often showing them how to heed the Spirit and move forward, even when there is no plan. We have perhaps watered down faith into something much more like plan well and pray and do nothing till you can see clearly. Now, I admit that sounds awesome, but my life experience has went a little more like, when you can't see clearly and you've prayed, move forward, whether you have a plan or not. It isn't blindly leaping into nothing. Just because others are blind to what you are doing doesn't mean you are blind in doing it. It's leaping into nothing because you have the eyes of the Spirit, though the rest of the world is blind to that. Not knowing where he was going. Wow. God, give me that kind of faith to move forward when I don't know where I am going. Now, I know where my next move will take me, but admittedly, I don't really know how we're going to pull it off. There is peace in regards to timing and location and the direction that we feel the Father has put in our hearts for local ministry. However, the funds aren't in place, and there are as many questions as there are answers. Not knowing where he was going. It's said in the past tense, and there's promise in the words, because no one tells the story of a man who moves forward without a plan and then crashes and burns. But everyone wants to hear the story about the guy who moves forward without a plan and then dwells in a land of promise. Let's live that story. Grace to you.